Welcome. My name is Ethan Benatan. I'm very pleased to welcome you to this session, Practical Professional Development, Strategies You Can Use. We have two wonderful presenters for you today, Keith McIntosh, who is the Vice Chancellor for IT for the Pima Community College District. You know he's a man who is very precise in his thinking, because if you read his EDUCAUSE bio, it points out that his time in the Air Force was 24.5 years. Some people might have been tempted to round up. And Cynthia Golden, who runs teaching and learning for the University of Pittsburgh, the teaching and learning with technology, I should say, not all of it, for the University of Pittsburgh. Cynthia's prior roles have included gigs as university CIO and also a vice president for EDUCAUSE, where she was responsible for professional development. So you know you're in for a good ride. So the presenters ask that you please make a point of filling in the online session evaluation, and so does EDUCAUSE, so please do that. It's going to be a highly interactive session, so you're going to have a lot of fun. There are two microphones, one up here in the middle in the table area and one behind the booth in the back. So if you're speaking to the crowd, please stand up and be prepared to use a mic and silence your cell phones and get ready for a really fun time.
Thanks, Ethan. Hi, everybody. As we said, you know, or as Ethan said, we really do want to be as interactive as we possibly can. This is a really big room, but we think that that you'll have the chance to contribute. We really want to hear from you. We also want to hear from all of our colleagues and friends who are out there watching the net version of this talk. So we're streaming live, and your questions are welcome and comments as we go through our talk today. So I just wanted to add a little bit to what Ethan had to say. I'm Cynthia Golden. I'm from the University of Pittsburgh. And Pitt is, this is a picture of our campus, you know, as it looks today in all the beautiful, you know, fall foliage colors in the east. We have about 35,000 students at Pitt. I've been there for about 4 years. And it is, our largest enrollment is undergraduate, but we have a lot of programs. We've got nursing and health sciences and medicine, and so it's a pretty big and interesting place. Before I was at Pitt, as Ethan said, I was here with EDUCAUSE. I had the great pleasure of working as the leader of the professional development activities, and that's part of why I am here on this panel or this stage to talk about this with all of you. I am really passionate about professional development, and you know, I really believe that organizations are only as successful as the people who run them. And so it's really our duty as leaders to encourage people to, you know, build their careers and increase their skills and their knowledge. And so there are lots of ways to do that, and we're hoping to do some of that, have some of those discussions today. I've had a lot of opportunity in my career to watch the impact that professional development has had on people, and both on institutions when there have been really successful programs in place, and on individuals whose careers, it's been really fun to watch as they move through their careers, and I can see the impact of some of the professional development activities, you know, like this conference or like institutes or other programs, the impact that they have had on people's careers. And so, you know, my interest in this stems somewhat from the opportunity to give back to the community. I think that all of us have that obligation. So we've got lots to talk about today, and I think we're going to really have a good time doing it. And let me let Mac tell you a little bit about himself.
So I'll say ditto to everything that she said. Good afternoon. All right, so there are some people awake here. I have to do this. I have to say hi to all of my colleagues, friends, back at Pima Community College, because if I don't do that, I won't be able to come home. All right. Please call me Mac throughout the session. That's my nickname. That's what I go by. I am from Pima Community College. We're located in Tucson, Arizona, population of about 1 million folks. We have six campuses, which I have pictured up here today. Each of those six campuses are located different spots of Tucson, Arizona. They service a particular region. Hi, Eric. Service a particular region throughout the metropolitan area of Tucson, and they also have a different academic discipline that they teach and focus on. You see some of the metrics up there. We're about the eighth largest community college in the United States. Something about me, I'm very passionate about professional development, and that came from my time in the military. I spent 24 and a half years in the Air Force, and it was instilled in me how important it is for us to strategically, actively, proactively grow ourselves, and those, when we move into leadership, those we have the privilege to lead, we must do that for them as well. And so that culture came with me into higher ed, and I've seen the success of professional development, and that's why I champion that each and every place I've ever been and as much as possible as I can. I'm on the EDUCOLLEGE Institute Management faculty I'm on the EDUCOLLEGE Institute Management faculty team, and the reason why I'm on that team is because I believe in giving back to the community and helping those young leaders who aspire to move up in their career. And I see three of my former students here, I guess I could call them, sitting up front, so they'll critique me pretty hard, I'm sure. Feel free to ask us questions throughout. I really want this to be a dialogue and a conversation. We sat down on purpose because we just want to be able to say we're having a fireside chat with you.
Although okay? It's hard with the lights up here.
I can't see half of you because the lights are bright.
Yeah. So we're interested in why some of you are here, why all of you are here. And we thought we would try a little poll everywhere experiment. So, you know, you can take out your mobile devices and answer these questions. We really are wondering if you're more interested in today talking about or learning ways to develop your team or your staff or your organization, you know, develop your own programs, or if you're kind of, you know, more interested in focusing on you know, creating a professional advancement plan for yourself or both or something else. And we just thought it would be fun to try the technology and also to really see what you were thinking, because it might help us frame our remarks. Oh, it's not showing up. Oh, we're going to have to tell you what it is then.
So keep them coming. So
keep them coming, 14. Yeah.
Move the mouse.
Yeah, we moved the mouse. Oh, well. You can mirror. Oh, we're not mirroring? Thought we were. So you get to see the results in a minute. But you know, there are two ways to look at to sort of think about professional development. And one is from the perspective of yourself, where you're going with your career and the kinds of things that you should be doing. And the other is from the perspective of your organization and how you might create a culture of professional development from within your institution. So maybe now we got it. Okay. So most of you are coming from the organizational perspective, although a lot of you are looking at both. So great. Thank you. This helps us a little bit to think about what we're doing. I will leave the poll open, but I'm gonna sort of move on a little bit. And so I make an assertion. And, you know, my assertion is that as a community, we think professional development is important. And there's a lot of evidence right in front of us, not only, you know, just by the fact of, you know, you coming to attend the session, but there are, I don't know what the numbers are, but there are somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 people from higher education here at this conference. So we are voting with our feet. This represents, I think, a really, you know, massive investment on the part of higher education in professional development for higher ed IT professionals. And so I believe that, and I think as a community we believe that, but there really is some real evidence to support that assertion. And if you have heard about the campus computing survey tomorrow, the folks at campus computing will announce what their 2013 survey will talk about, but this data is from last year. One of the things they ask people about are the top institutional IT priorities for an institution. And last year, at least, Hiring and retaining qualified IT staff was one of the top three institutional priorities across all sectors. So the people who responded to the survey said that this was important to them, and they knew that this was going to be important on their campus. In addition, if you participate in the EDUCAUSE Core Data Survey, or if you look at the Core Data results every year, you will have seen, maybe, that the annual spending last year for per IT staff member on things like training, conferences, seminars, things that we would, you know, categorize as professional development was almost $800 a year. Now, that might not seem, you know, like very much, but depending upon your institution, you know, some people might have very little and other people might have a larger amount spent on them. So we know, you know, based on this little bit of data, that as a community we think it's important. Campus computing, when last year in the survey that they did, also noted that you know, it's important, but there are realities today, and those of us who are at state or state-related institutions have certainly felt the impact of budget cuts on us. So the privates have as well. And those last two bullets on here relating to the increasing challenges our people face because of these budget cuts, you know, basically says it's harder to get the work done and people are feeling more stress about it. So this is the reality of where we are today. This is the condition under which we and our staff members are working. And I think Mac and I are both here to say that now is not the time to abandon professional development, but rather to embrace it. And I will let you talk for a few minutes.
All right, for a few minutes. So these are the three questions. When Cynthia and I were sitting down preparing our presentation, we were thinking about these are probably what we want to make sure we take away and have a dialogue and a conversation about. So we don't have exactly the answer, the epitome of the answer for each and every one of these. We have some possible answers, but we definitely want to hear from each of you of what you think about those particular questions. And we'd love to add that to the dialogue. One of the things, and I think it's a good time to let folks know, that I'm very passionate about professional development, so is she. And we feel like we're not going to be able to do professional development a lot of justice in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So we want to have the dialogue continue, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear from you because we'd like to write an article about that, and we'd like to gather and put all this information from what you tell us today into that article. Okay. So why do you guys think, and this is an opportunity, I'm going to put it out to you guys, why should we invest in professional development for our staff? That's the first question. You know, if you don't feel like you should invest, then the rest of the slides don't mean much to you, right? Mm-hmm. So why do you guys feel like we should invest? Come on. And I already have some plants in the audience, and I can call them out by name, even the ones that I didn't make plants, I'm going to call them. And if you could get up and go to the microphone when you say that would be great. Appreciate it.
And we have somebody who's moderating our online group, too, and so we'll be able to hear from the folks who are participating online as well.
So go ahead, Kyle.
Kyle Johnson, Chaminade University. One of the reasons we look to invest in professional development is that IT is in the strategic plan. So I have always said if it's a strategic initiative, then and it's important for our institution, our staff can't have 4- and 5- and 6-year-old knowledge. They have to be current.
Staying current.
John Sasada, Moody Bible Institute. What I found is if I don't invest in my staff, they'll go work for someone else who will invest in their. So it's an investment strategy for the future.
Thank you.
David Christensen, Abilene Christian University. And there's an old maxim that goes right along with what he was saying. Some people don't want to train people because they're afraid they're just going to leave. But it's a whole lot cheaper to train somebody and lose them than it is to not train them and keep them.
There was a song about cheaper to keep her or something like that. It's a kind of a similar mantra. Yes, Ethan.
So at the small college constituent group this morning, one of the points that was raised by many of the participants was how do we deal with this astonishing pace of change with a relatively small crowd? And you know, one of the things I think we realized there as a group was that professional development is not only keeping us on top of the game, but it's also giving people, you know, a way to invest in themselves.
So, you bet. Thank you.
Keith McWhirter from Queen's University, Ontario, Canada. I like to push people out of their comfort zone. So we try to do that a lot at Queens, and you know, we get people stuck in that, you know, victim of a comfortable job. We call it the velvet rut, and it's not just about technical skills. It's about that, you know, new life skills and personal skills, and yeah, got to keep them challenged, and that's where we're going to get the stars rising.
You called it the velvet rut.
The velvet rut.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
TM.
Okay, I don't know if I can follow the velvet rut, but Jim Rissman from Fuller Seminary. The practical upshoot for us is with lower budgets, we can't pay our IT staff what they can get in the private industry. So professional development sort of offsets some of that loss of income they would get otherwise if they went to work for a corporate institution. Balances that out a little bit.
All right. Thank you very much.
Anything from the online folks?
Oh, we got okay. A few more. All right.
My name is Michaela Seals from the University of Texas at Arlington. Organizations are constantly changing, just as, for lack of a better word, the marketplace. So in order to compete, you have to build a learning organization. So you invest in your people so that they can then turn around and invest in your organization so that you can compete abroad.
Very good point. Thank you.
And I'm short, so I'm going to bring this back down. I'm Nicholas Hodge with the University of Arizona.
Hey, you're there, right on.
I'm actually in a unique situation that I lead a team of business analysts who came to the IT world from campus. So we're investing in professional development to help them with their sense of identity, to sort of sever that notion of being functional office and giving them a better sense of where they belong in our IT organization.
Sense of identity. Well said. Oh, Cindy Dooling, I know you'd say something.
Of course. People are our most important resource. So just to prove that we do value them, this is what we can do is provide them the opportunities.
I totally agree with everything that's been said there today. One of the things we talked about, if there's anybody else, we'll continue. We kind of broke it down in two perspectives.
I just moved it.
You know, from the first perspective, it's from those that are privileged to be in a leadership position. Why should we invest in our staff? I think we've heard some of that today. But some of the things that I feel very important about is we cannot pay folks what they probably truly deserve. The rate of change that is going on in IT is very rapid, right? And the sense of belonging, connectedness, and be able to contribute to the bottom line, and want to make sure that your staff are doing things at the most efficiently way possible. The only way to really do that, ensure that to happen, is to provide the professional development for them. Especially when the times that the systems that we're integrating are becoming more complex, we need to make sure we spend time on those both technical and non-technical professional development skills.
And I think that I've heard it said or alluded to already, that the non-technical skills or the soft skills are something that, you know, those of us who have come out of a technical background may not have, you know, ever spent much time thinking about or talking about, and our staff members as well. And yet for the last, 10 years, you've been hearing more about the importance of those soft skills, the communication skills, the ability to, you know, to translate complex IT concepts into things others can understand, and so, you know, it takes some investment to be able to help people develop those skills.
And additionally, before we move on, I think it increases productivity. It also helps with retention, I believe. It also helps with a sense of belonging and satisfaction. That, mm-hmm. you know, I know that my team and my institution cares enough about me to invest in me, so therefore I'm going to feel more able or feel more energized to contribute to the mission of my institution because they're giving to me first and foremost.
Shall we move on?
Yes. Now, from a staff person's perspective, I tell this almost every time I speak or talk about professional development. Now, I'm going to say that it's a leadership responsibility for professional development, but honestly, at the end of the day, and I'm a very direct shooter, nobody's going to care about each person in this room as much as you, the individual, will care about yourself. You must take stock in who you are and where you want to go with your life and what do you feel like your strengths and weaknesses are and what do you want to contribute. And you need to have a conversation with your supervisor to help develop a professional development plan for you. I highly encourage you to do that. If that's not happening from your leadership, don't blame your leadership. You need something, it's entirely up to you. And think about ways that you can come to him or her with some alternative methods of getting professional development if the resources are pretty scarce. And we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure I'm covering everything on that one. So as you can see, the following things up here. But I think that surmises that there. You can grow tremendously with professional development. I'm trying not to talk about myself, but I want to say this one thing. I'm fortunate to be where I am today. I am where I am today from a lot of hard work and a lot of mentors in my past, but I guarantee you it was the professional development that I sought out and completed that helped me prepare for the leadership challenges that I have today. And if I didn't pursue those leadership challenges and I didn't decide to try to take those professional development opportunities on, I would not be here today. As much as my mentors could have encouraged me, it was actually me going through the professional development that allowed me to improve who I was as a leader, manager, supervisor.
Well, and I think I can say the same thing. And you have to be willing to give it the time to invest in it. And so for people who are earlier in their careers, sometimes, you know, the idea of, for example, serving on an EDUCAUSE committee, maybe reviewing papers, you know, that's happening in your off hours. That's not happening in your, you know, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or whatever your campus has. And so you are making an investment, but it's a professional investment that helps you grow. And so we want to talk about some of those strategies for those investments. Although I did want to say, you know, when you're investing in yourself, the last bullet we have up there says that, you know, one of the benefits is to make friends and have fun. And, you know, once you get involved in the community, whether it's a community like the EDUCAUSE community, or whether it is people in your local area, you know, that you get together, you know, IT folks from a lot of different institutions, you will make friends in the end, and these people will, you know, be references or you know, be contacts for a difficult problem, somebody you want to bounce something off, but they'll also, you know, you'll develop some camaraderie that I think, you know, happens as you enjoy it throughout your entire career. And of course, I think none of us should be in this business if we aren't having fun sometime anyway.
I'm going to piggyback on what she said. Some people may not see that as professional development. One of the things I love about coming to the EDUCAUSE conference is an opportunity to meet people. Those who know me know I network my behind off. I love to meet people. And because I think I'm greatly enriched in my life by all those interactions that I have with different folks. All these individuals come with so much experience, knowledge, background, history. I don't know everything about everything, and I guarantee you the more people I meet, when I run across a problem 2 months from now, 3 years from now, there'll be somebody that I've met at one of these conferences that I can go, that person can help me out. And I'm greatly enriched by having that relationship, and then through that process of whatever we're working on, I'm growing professionally. I hope you guys can see the connection. That's why I want to emphasize that point. That is a very inexpensive way to grow yourself in this industry.
So we have some practical strategies that we wanted to talk about, and then we want to hear from you at you know, some of the kinds of things that you do. We've already heard somebody say that one of the things as a leader that you do is nudge people out of their comfort zones, or, you know, find ways to engage your staff in developmental activities. And, you know, it's even more challenging right now. If we all had unlimited, you know, bank accounts or funds at our campuses, we'd probably have a lot more people from our staff here at this meeting, but we had to make some choices about who we could send and what they were going to do and, you know, how we were going to divide and conquer the conference so that we could bring as much back to campus as we can. So we know we can't send everybody all the time, but there are some things that we do that, you know, help us take advantage of the money that we are spending. So, you know, some of the things I do on my campus are, after somebody attends an event like this, you know, we do a little workshop or a lunch and learn or, you know, some set of presentations or conversations back on campus where those of us who had the opportunity to come can share a little bit about what we learned. And, you know, of course, now we can get the online conference so people who couldn't come here can participate in a really rich way, and I think that's a wonderful opportunity, something that EDUCAUSE has done. We also really do take advantage on my campus of the webinars and other online services that EDUCAUSE offers. So for example, you know, we'll schedule ourselves into a webinar. We will advertise it. We'll invite faculty, you know, we might target certain faculty to know it's a topic they're interested in. And so then we get that faculty-staff dialogue or engagement going as well. So that's just one or two things. I know you've got a number, Mac.
I got a few. I'm going to pick on Cindy Dooling here in a minute. She knows that. Some of the things we try to do, we've done book clubs where, and I'm doing one with my leadership team right now. We're going through some change processes at our institution, so we're all going through the book Leading Change by John Cotter. And we assign chapters to different people to facilitate that at different, so we carve out 15 minutes out of our two-hour staff meeting every Wednesday and have a conversation about that, and we try to apply it to what we're going through at the time. Additionally, we do, and staff have book clubs as well at the different campuses around the college. We have brown bag sessions where we take different IT staff, and they're experts in a particular area, and on an annual basis, we kind of write out all the different things, and correct me if I'm wrong, Cindy, what we think we could talk about, and we rack and stack those, and then we assign that person as a facilitator. And because being geographically dislocated, it's hard to bring everybody together for an hour because of the logistics. You got to add an hour on either time for travel. We have a video conferencing system at our institution, so we try to do that via the video conferencing system, so a person can present from their area, but only a person who has to leave is walk to the video conference room at their particular location and attend. That's a very low-cost way. That's using the expertise in your institution to teach others about a particular subject matter. Also, we've had, Cindy, I was going to ask you to explain about the Amazing Race, if you could. Cindy Dooling is one of my staff members, and I'm very passionate about professional development, but she's more passionate about it than I am. So I usually say, I'd like to do this, and then she makes it happen. And we did something this year at our institution called the Amazing Race, and I wanted her to describe it.
Well, as we try to come up with unique, creative, different ways of getting folks to mingle. You know, you've got your various departments from your user support services staff, your networking programmers, you know, and the server side. So how do you get them all together to understand name and face? Again, like we said, we have six campuses in our district office. So how do you get them together to kind of work together, know what each other does? And a number of things that we tried over the years, different things. So this one, I thought about, how about, you know, we see the Amazing Race where people go about collecting tickets or something or other and come together. So what was devised was another, as a start of this particular session, to initiate that don't sit with the same people you always know at the table. So when they came in the room, they had to pull a colored ticket out of a bucket, and they had to go sit at that table that matched the tablecloth that matched that ticket. So that started the conversation, some table conversations that we had topics listed on the table as well. And then those teams were then paired up. We gave them clues around a campus. And because, in particular, half of our staff is at district, they don't get to our campuses, so they don't really see what life is like on a campus. So this put some different campus people as well as district people together to kind of go around and see, you know, the library or the student services area or whatever it might be at that particular campus. And we got clues, so they had to go and figure out what the answer to that clue was and go find that spot. And when they got to that spot, there'd be one of our directors was there who would ask a question about that department. So with user support services, I would ask, you know, specific questions about that. You know, do you know who the staff is in the enterprise group? You know, and so different couple of questions. Once they then had to brainstorm together to get those answers, which some of them just didn't know, they got an envelope that was the clue to the next spot. And when they collected all their envelopes, went back to that same room where we started, and we set off a timer, and at that time then, they had to take a puzzle piece out. So all of those envelopes were puzzle pieces they had to put together that had all the screen captures of all the places that they had gone to, put those all together, and then the other side, of course, was a motherboard of some sort. So our support coordinator was excellent in putting all that together. So, you know, it was opportunity. They were excited about the fact that they got to learn about each other. They didn't know who some of these people were, and they certainly didn't know what some of the departments did. So it was just a great way to, instead of just sitting in the same room together, they got up, they mingled, they moved about that campus and saw things that they had never had an opportunity before.
Thank you, Cindy. Cindy wasn't briefed ahead of time that she was going to do that, but I appreciate that. Another thing that we do is a tech swap program, so we allow people to move from their primary work location to another work location for 2 weeks. It's a formal program where they have to work with the supervisor, identify what the goals and objectives are for that, and then they have to do some type of outbrief when they leave. So there's an evaluation that goes with them back to their supervisor. And the good thing about that is people get in a rut of how they do business, even if it's the mm-hmm. same job done at a different location. You know, and you think you have it, and because that's the way we do it. And you come over here and you go, wow, they do it differently and it's much more efficient. I didn't know that. And I wouldn't have known that if I didn't do the tech swap. So you're growing professionally that way. Also, people bring things like, wow, because you came, now I know something new. So that's good. So the tech swap is something. And something else we're starting is a job shadowing program. We're just going to stand that up as well. We're still trying to work out the different levels because I doubt anybody wants to job shadow me because they'd be there at work 12 hours a day. And in meetings all day, that wouldn't be much fun. But I think that's another opportunity. Very low cost, that's something you can do within your own resources.
You know, another low cost thing that we have been doing, one of the directors who reports to me is new to Pitt and took a look at this director's blog site that we have on our website and commented that, you know, it's only the IT or the teaching and learning directors and I. folks who are contributing to it, why don't we, you know, change that up a little bit? And so what we have done is asked all the staff members to, you know, write a short blog post. So once a week we have a new post up there. Everybody is contributing. Sometimes the best way to learn something is to write about it or talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so it's done a number of things from a professional development perspective. It helps people with their writing and communication skills. More importantly, I think it makes people understand the role that they helps people to understand the role that they play in the university by writing about their particular topic, and they get recognition about it, and other people are reading their work, and it's really been a very nice feature that we introduced just this summer.
A couple other things we've done is thanks to Cindy, we have once a month we have a projects meeting, and what we try to do is invite staff who don't normally get to come to the senior leadership table. And they may be bored out of their gourd, but I hope they learn something. They get to spend time with us as we walk through projects and ask those tough questions about why we're doing that, what adjustments we're going to make. And I think, you know, it's not structured, it's very unstructured, but it's an opportunity and exposes folks to things. And they can go, wow, okay, so that's what's going on up there, you know. That's one thing we do. Another thing is we had a first annual, which I hope to be annual, Arizona IT Community College, did I say that right? Community College of Arizona IT Symposium. And this is a way to partner with, we have 10 community colleges in the state of Arizona, so we partnered with them to have our own kind of like mini educause within the state. And we distributed the resources and the costs amongst, well, I think we distributed the resource amongst everybody. But the opportunity was to bring people, just like we did tech swap amongst our campuses. Now we can meet our colleagues from around the state. Some of them we may not even know. Some we may only know from email or a phone call. Now we can actually have dialogue about different things. Well, how did you solve this? How did mm-hmm. you do that? And we actually had formal presentations. So that's something you could do too, is look in your local community and see who you can partner with. I've just started having outreach with, I'm very active in the TSON community. So one of the things I'm trying to do is bring the outside in. And I took my team, my leadership team, one of the guys I met, the CFO for the University of Arizona Tech Park, which is a very large tech incubator. And we're talking about the different types of companies that get seeded, get capital or venture capital money to seed them for trying to do some new idea. And so we brought my team out to the tech park just to hear what they do. That's an opportunity to learn and grow mm-hmm. and see how others are doing things and solving situations.
So we didn't even talk about the two logos on the screen here, but obviously, you know, things like Skillsoft and Lynda.com have introduced a wealth of opportunity to our campuses. At the University of Pittsburgh, we have a campus license for Lynda.com. So our ability to give people just-in-time training or to expose them to you know, new technologies, new ways of doing things has just expanded tremendously with that. So it's been a nice addition to our professional development approach.
And we do the same thing with Skillsoft. And one of the things I like about Skillsoft, because resources are very tight. So let's say I'll just pick a number. Let's say I have $25,000 for 50 staff. And you saw what the average was like, 796, but any of us have gone to any technical training, you know you can't do anything for 796, right? That's the average for the pot of money striped across everybody. But if you reduce the number of everybody down to maybe 10, then you can say, I can send people. So how do you decide what 10 people get to go on training this year? And it's, if you're like me, I wrestle with it because I'm always feeling like I have to say yes to somebody and no to somebody else. So one way I do is to use Skillsoft. So let's say a person wants to get training on the latest system administration of some type. Well, I'm like, okay, well, show me that you're very proactive. Why don't you complete the following courses within Skillsoft? And you'll see who's motivated and who's not. Now, I'm giving a secret away to my team right now that's watching back home. But those that are motivated get it done, and guess who gets the money when I need to send them somewhere? So that's one thing. And it's a bit, you know, it's a side benefit because they actually go through the training. They do get smart from that training that they have to receive online through Skillsoft, but it makes them more knowledgeable about what they're going to do when they go out to receive training from a course in residence.
So I think we have a lot more strategies that we can share, but we really did want to make sure that we break at points to hear from you all again. And so another opportunity to kind of get up to the microphone and share some of the things that you might be doing on your campus that
I got a guy
that work.
To call on. Eric Bird. Help me out, Eric. What do you do? Microphone, Eric.
Please.
I've got a little more I can see you.
Eric was one of my colleagues on the EDUCAUSE Institute faculty.
And former chair of the PD committee.
Yes, the PD committee. It's a couple of things I would say. One of the things that we hadn't talked about so far, but in terms of your comment, Mac, a moment ago about how you decide who gets to go on such. I think one of the things you can do, even in a small environment, is planning in advance what PD opportunities are going to be for a budget cycle, a year, whatever it is. What happens often, I found, is that you have, even though you don't have a lot of money, you don't end up spending all of it. The end of the year goes by, and how did I not spend even the small amount of money I have? So I got this tip from a colleague who does a spreadsheet at the beginning of every year and sends it around to all her staff and says, what do you want to go to? And then she publishes it, like on the internet or something like that, so you can all see it, and this is what each person is going to. It doesn't help, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, you could, this also provides some equity, because over year over year, you can see, well, this person's going to this. And sometimes it even helps get people who aren't inclined to go to something to try something new. And I'd list everything there. I'd list the Skillsoft stuff there. I'd list the lynda.com stuff there. So there's one tip.
All right, thank you, Eric. Anybody else?
You know, along those lines of planning, one of the things that at one of the institutions where I worked, I found made a big difference was when at performance review time, when you know, you're actually sitting down to do the formal planning for the next year, you require that every supervisor works with their staff member to do a formal PD plan. And, you know, it doesn't have to be 20 pages. It can be, you know, half a page of bullets, but that you have sat down and thought about it. And as Eric said, you know, kind of laid it out for the year makes a huge difference, not only in helping to decide who gets to go, but just in the development of staff to begin with. So.
Something else that we're fortunate at our institution, and I'm not sure when it came to be, but maybe this is something you can have a dialogue to start at your institution. We have the institution values professional development enough that they've allocated professional development funds over and above the training budget for the individual departments. And that's obviously a competition-based type allocation. So mm-hmm. Each individual is allocated a certain amount of money if they are submit an application of what they're going to do and why they need to do that. And also, I would encourage folks, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, the EDUCAUSE scholarships that are available.
We can talk about that.
You could do better than I could.
Well, there are two, you know, because we're at EDUCAUSE, we're going to probably be a little more EDUCAUSE-centric in our comments here, but this association has two scholarship programs that are available. One is called the Balestri Scholarship, and the other one is the Jane Ryland Scholarship. And so there are funds that have come from donors, people in our community who said, hey, PD is so important to me. you know, in memory of my colleague Diane, I'm going to donate funds so that we can create a scholarship fund. And the material to apply is available on the website. You can, if you are at an institution where your dollars are not going as far as you would like them to go, there's an application process, there's a committee that considers them, and it is a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful resource to actually get to some of the professional development activities that EDUCAUSE has to offer. So the money can go towards conference attendance, or it can go towards some of the management and leadership programs and institutes that EDUCAUSE does. And that brings me to the idea of kind of identifying talent, because as you are working with people and you're helping them plan their professional development, you may recognize people who have real leadership potential. And so things like the new IT managers program or the EDUCAUSE Institute Management or Leadership Program are really great opportunities to kind of get away from campus, be with a cohort of people, and really focus on issues of leading IT in higher education. And so people like Mac, who came from outside of higher education, tell me that they have found it to be a very valuable experience.
It has been. I learned a lot from the EDUCAUSE Institute Leadership Program when I came into higher ed in 2008. I knew a lot about leadership and management, having been in the military for 24 years, but I needed to understand the culture and the environment of higher ed. And so I petitioned my boss at the time, Kirk Kelly, a great man, and he was able to say, yep, I'll send you. And it helped me catapult my career in higher education, and I'm deeply appreciative of that. I try to send staff each and every year on a priority basis to the EDUCAUSE Institute Management Program, but I also encourage them to apply for the scholarships. I myself was fortunate to go to the former Fry Institute, Leading Change Institute, and I was able to receive the Jane Ryland $2,500 that took some of the cost of going off the burden off my institution. And just last year, I sent one of my staff and development services, Alexandra, and she applied and she was able to receive both the scholarships. So she basically got to attend EDUCAUSE Management Institute for free. So I would highly encourage you to do that.
So we want to make sure that we have time to talk about a couple other things, but one of the things we wanted to do was really encourage you to share what you do on your campus. And, you know, as Max said at the beginning, we don't have all the answers. We've kind of told you a lot of things that we do, but I know that there are wonderful programs on many of our campuses that we would love to be able to, share more widely with our community. So we set up a community in IdeaScale. I don't know if anybody has used this IdeaScale or not, but what we'd really like for you to do when you have time is go to the Professional Development Strategies community that we set up and submit your ideas. We put one up there already so that you can kind of take a look at it, but you know, one of the ideas we put up there talks about what Mac was talking about earlier, you know, inviting colleagues from local campuses and kind of doing little, you know, mini PD programs or mini EDUCAUSE programs in your area. You know, that's just one thing. There are lots of things that are out there, but we're going to keep the community open for a while so that all of you can contribute, and we'd really like to learn more about what's happening on your campuses in terms of your own professional development programs. At our university, for example, our human resources offers a leadership development program. That happens at some large institutions. I know others who have created, you know, mentoring programs for IT staff, or, you know, leadership programs for women in IT, or all kinds of different things like that. But even, you know, formal programs, informal strategies, what we'd like to do is gather up as many of those as we can so that we can share them with the broader EDUCAUSE community.
Good.
So we'll put that up again at the end so you can have the URL.
We're coming to a close. We're almost done. One of the things I really do believe that the professional development culture, the tone is set for those of us who are privileged to lead. We need to set that tone, and we need to talk about professional development, and we need to encourage our staff to pursue professional development, and it has to be something that's not a one-time conversation. It almost gets to the point where maybe you are feeling like you're nagging folks, but, you know, I remember my teenage boys, I'd said stuff to them when they were teenagers that they now repeat back to me like it's their original idea that they came up with themselves when they're in their 20s, and I realized that it did sink in, and it did. They were listening, and eventually that seed will bear fruit. So continue to set the example and support your staff. And those of us who are, I continually try to grow myself professionally, and most of it is coming through webinars or possibly I read a lot of books. I would encourage you to do the same thing and read every trade publication I can. You know, it's your responsibility. Like I said earlier, nobody's going to care as much as you. So I would encourage you to develop a professional development plan and have a proactive conversation with your supervisor.
And we even have a slide for that. This is a you know, a moldy oldie, but I this is actually a photocopy of a mouse pad that I got at my first professional event. And for those of you who are new to EDUCAUSE, the association was founded, I can't remember what year, I think 99, through a merger of two like associations. One was called EDUCAUSE and one was called one was called EDUCOM and one was called CAUSE. And CAUSE had this slogan that professional development was everyone's responsibility. And that really stuck with me. It really made an impact on me. And it's something that, and I still had the mouse pad, so I copied it, made an image so I could share it, because it's something I've remembered since those early days in my career. And what I really, you know, take away from that is that, you know, I have to be accountable for my own development. And though, as Mac and I just said, you know, as a leader, we have a special responsibility to encourage people and to make those opportunities available to them. As an individual, you know, I have to realize that it's my job. It's not my manager's job to tell me what to do and where to go and how to do it. But I have to really, really play a role in that. One of the things that I learned pretty early on, and it was at that particular meeting, was prior to that I had thought of myself as an IT professional who just happened to work in higher education. And I think being part of a community like we have, that meeting way back when was the first time I thought of myself really as, oh, I'm a higher ed person who happens to work in the IT domain. And that, you know, that was a defining moment for me. And so, you know, I think that by sort of taking advantage of the opportunities that are there and, you know, really making the most of it, I think it can have a great impact on your career. And we all know we want everybody who works for us to be happy and to be doing something that they really enjoy doing. And I also think that doing this kind of professional development, you know, gives you those opportunities to, you know, feel really good about your job. And so I think that's another benefit of everything that we're talking about today. So we've come to the end.
Yep.
We are so thankful for the ideas that you've shared. We really hope you'll continue to share more. And do you want to make any other comments?
No, we didn't hear from any questions online. Did we have any? That's okay.
Thank you.
I'll get Pima when I get back. I know they have some questions. But I really appreciate you guys coming today. And feel free. I'll be walking around. I'd love to talk about professional development. Those of you who know me know I can talk your ear off. So if you have more questions, feel free. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.